Offside.
V četrto gre rado. Pred Božičem je novo nastavljeni francoski premier François Bayrou imenoval novo vlado. Sestavljajo jo renesančno zavezništvo predsednika Emmanuela Macrona, desni republikanci, radikalna stranka, ki je, ne ves imene zavede, liberalna. Desna unija demokratov in neodvisnih, stranka obzorja in demokratsko gibanje, ki ga vodi novi premier Bayrou. 7 od 35 ministrov je enakih kot v prejšnji vladi Mišeja Barnjeja iz republikanske stranke, ki ga je Macron imenoval v septembra, potem ko je zavrnil nominacijo premijerskega kandidata iz leve koalicije Nova ljudska fronta, ki je na volitvah osvojila največ glasov. Macron je Bayrouja imenoval po nezaupnici Barnjejevi vladi v začetku septembra zaradi nestrinjenja z varčevalnim proračunom za prihajajoče leto, tako na levi kot na desni strani parlamenta. Novega, že četrtega premijeja Francije v letošnjem letu, François Bayrouja, predstavi neodvisni francoski novinar Daniel Brown.
François Bayrou is one of the most seasoned veteran politicians France still has around. He's well over 70 years old, and he's been a minister, especially of education, for a while. That was his specialty as a classics teacher originally. And he's a centrist, a conservative centrist, you could say, who has been advising Macron since he arrived to the presidency. And so he's very much in collusion, you know, with the current president of France. And he's someone who's got a very high opinion of himself, who is also representing his city of Pau in the south of France. And he is trying to use his experience to drag through very unpopular proposals from the current government that actually brought down the last government. He's someone who was supposed to be good in diplomacy, but so far he's made quite a few mistakes. He's relied on people that are not especially popular to bring in experience. You know, the former Prime Minister Elisabeth Borne and the former socialist Prime Minister Emmanuel Valls. So people are, you know, quite nervous about how things are going to turn out under his tenure.
Macron si je po julijskih predčasnih parlamentarnih volitvah, na katerih je slavila Nova ljudska fronta, za imenovanje novega premijeja vzel kar 11 tednov. Kaj hitro je zavrnil imenovanje Lisika Ste, neodvisne kandidatke za premijejsko funkcijo, prav tako je nasprotoval imenovanju vlade, ki jo je predlagala zmagovita leva koalicija. Po dolgem premisleku in sestankih z vodjami in neuradnimi vodjami drugih strank, med njimi tudi Marine Le Pen, ki vodi nacionalni zbor, je za predsednika vlade le izbral Barnjeja. Profesor politologije na Univerzi v Burgundiji Teo Ajolfi pojasni, da so razlike med Barnjejem in njegovim naslednikom majhne.
Barnier was part of Les Républicains, is part of Les Républicains, which is the conservative right, the sort of like standard right party. And his government was very prominently dominated by figures from his party, from Les Républicains. What Bayrou tried to do, because is to broaden the scope of the government. Bayrou is someone that is known to be a centrist, known to be the sort of in between left and right, someone that would have been slightly more on the left to Macron, ever so slightly, of course. And what he tried to do is create a government that would go wider. So that was the intention. But in practice, what Bayrou did is basically recreate or at least maintain more than half of the government and just add new figures. And the figures that he added, he tried to get some of the people from the Socialist Party, which would have been the the more moderate member of left-wing union alliance, should I say? And instead, he got some former socialist parties, like Rebsamen, the former mayor of Dijon. And what was most surprising is that he reintroduced some very famous names from the previous Macron government or from François Hollande, including Elisabeth Borne, who was prime minister during Macron's mandate. Manuel Valls, who used to be Minister of the Interior during, and then later I think Prime Minister during François Hollande's presidency. So he reintroduced old figures in order to create some stability.
Kot še pojasni Ajolfi, je Bajrou premijski položaj od Macrona izsilil.
In the days running up to the nomination of François Bayrou, there were many names circulated in the media. Most of them were from the same sort of usual side of Macron. So it would be someone center right, center left. There were talks of Bernard Cazeneuve, who was a former socialist. There were talks of someone that was very close to François Bayrou himself, but not Bayrou. And the reason why he was elected, or at least that's what the press reported, is that Macron announced to Bayrou, who is one of his closest allies, that he would not nominate him because that's because he would prefer someone less that would have a lower like social profile. François Bayrou is someone with a long history in French politics. He's a public figure since the 90s. He he's also known for having quite of his way of doing things. So I think Macron wanted someone a bit less prominent as a result. And when he announced that to Bayrou, the journalists report that Bayrou said that he would withdraw support of his entire party, which is the third member of the Macron coalition. He said that if he were not nominated, he would just go, period. And with this threat in mind, Macron reconsidered and announced him as prime minister.
Macron je, kot pojasnjuje Brown, na dan imenovanja Bayrouja obvestil, da ga ne bo imenoval. A se je isti dan premislil. Kateremu kandidatu je bil Macron bolj naklonjen, komentira sogovorec.
Macron initially wanted Bruno Retailleau, who's a minister of justice and interior, a hardline conservative, not far from the national rally, the RN party of Marine Le Pen, with certain racist sympathies, shall we say, or tendencies. And he at first wanted to nominate him. Bayrou, who had been already, you know, in discussions, as you say, were more or less forced Macron to take him instead. He refused another post, another ministerial post, and so. As I said, Macron doesn't have many other options. He's tried them out and they haven't worked. He's one of the most unpopular presidents and his policies are extremely unpopular overall. And, be it in the rural areas or in the cities. Although his party did come second in the legislative elections.
Levica je že napovedala, da ostaja v opoziciji. Poleg koalicije Nova ljudska fronta je nezaupnico prejšnji vladi podprl tudi skrajno desni nacionalni zbor, ki, enako kot leva koalicija, v vladi ni dobil ministerskih mest. Ključna za preživetje nove vlade bo tako njihova podpora, glede katere se, kot pojasnjuje Brown, v stranki še niso izrekli.
It's just more of the same, it seems, and he's pushing through the pension fund that was tremendously unpopular, a budget that is extremely unpopular also because it's asking the French to tighten their belts, especially the sort of middle class and working class and a little bit the elite. And so we're, you know, observers are really wondering what on earth is going to happen when this very similar approach and philosophy and policies will be proposed. And the only thing perhaps is that the biggest single party is the extreme right-wing party, the RN, which has not said that it's going to censor it or that it's going to vote against. It's saying, for the moment, wait and see. We'll give you a chance. But so be careful, because we want a different budget. We want a budget that doesn't hurt the working class and the middle class that's struggling at the moment. Without giving many specifics, I mean, contrary to the coalition, they've been extremely vague about their economic policies. And given the pressure, the very strong pressure from the EU because of the very high debt that France has got into, with the equivalent of 6% GDP, which is twice as much of the twice as much as the limit of the EU of 3% debt. So they are more indebted than Greece, to give you an example. And so it's very much a wait and see policy for the moment. And it seems that unless major compromises are made by the current government and the prime minister, then it will be voted against. And that would, if it leads to the downfall of this government, it might well be the end of Macron. I mean, he's running out of jokers.
Vlada Michela Barnierja je prva po letu 1962 padla zaradi nezaupnice v parlamentu. Šlo je tudi za najkrajši čas delujoče vlade v obdobju francoske pete republike, razglašene leta 1958. Parlament je nezaupnico Barnierjevi vladi izglasoval v začetku decembra, potem ko je za sprejetje proračuna porabil tretjo alinejo 49. člena francoske ustave, ki vladi omogoča sprejetje zakonodaje brez glasovanja v parlamentu. Edini način, da parlament, v katerem predlagani proračun zaradi strogih varčevalnih ukrepov ni imel podpore, blokira vladni predlog proračuna, je bilo takšno zrušenje vlade. Kaj Barnier poskušal doseči z uporabo člena 49.3, pojasni Ayulfi.
Our constitution, law 49, alinea 3, 49.3, as it's infamously known in France, is something that Macron has used a lot. Elisabeth Borne, who is now at the head of the second biggest ministry in Bayrou's government, was famous for using the 49.3 proposition countless times during her tenure as prime minister. So, but the way this works is usually is it and the way it happened in this case is that the budget was debated in the National Assembly, in the parliament. It was heavily amended, changed mostly by the left, who made some substantial changes to what the budget was planning to do, including, of course, more taxes on the rich, more welfare positions, and benefits being given. And these things for Macron in particular are absolutely red lines, like lines that he doesn't want to cross at all. And so instead of just voting for the budget as it was amended by the debate, what the 49.3, what the 49 alinea 3 law allows him to do is to go back to the initial version of the text, which was not amended at all, and to force it. And I think what Barnier tried to do in this situation is to force the far right to validate it, and to say, we will not make any concessions to the left. Look, we will go back to the initial format of the text, which was closer to what your requests, and it's gonna work. And what happened, of course, is that the National Rally decided not to support this budget because of some of the, we talked about some policies regarding retired pensions and of retired people, but in practice this was just a way for the far right to demonstrate that this government was at its mercy.
Po neuspehu Barnierja je Bayrou sedaj napovedal, da ne bo uporabil člena 49.3.
So what Bayrou has said he would do is he announced that he would not be using that very Article 49, alinea 3. He is saying that he is going to try and make it and make the budget go through the classic budget, classic debates in parliament. And so he's hoping that he will not be censored. But there are other moments where the government can be facing a vote of no confidence. And the question is whether the oppositions, especially the left and the far right, are going to do it earlier or later, or if they're going to wait until after the debates for the for the budget have taken place or not. But to ask what is under the surface, it is quite clear that Macron doesn't want what he's done during the last 8 years to be withdrawn, to be cancelled. What he's particularly conscious about is the retirement age reform, which was passed with a lot of hassle. I think we talked about it with you in Radio Student. When was it? A year and a half ago, when there were demonstrations, and he completely ignored these demonstrations, and he managed to pass that law through that famous Article 49.3, and he doesn't want that to be unraveled. He doesn't want, and I think that's the main reason why, in spite of the left winning, or at least getting the biggest majority, albeit a relative majority, but still the biggest majority in parliament, that's why he doesn't want to nominate anybody there, because because he's afraid that they're going to unravel this pension reform, which is very polarizing, and that's one of the main things that the left has promised to do. And I think that's why Bayrou seems to be a slight step towards the left, but it's a very slight step. And he keeps some of the most right-wing and conservative figures in the key parts of the government. And I don't think it's going to work to appease the left's demands.
3 dni po imenovanju Bajruja je parlament sprejel posebni zakon o proračunu, s katerim bi se izognil prekinitvi delovanja vlade in državnih institucij. Zakon do sprejetja novega proračuna za leto 2025 vladi omogoča pobiranje davkov enako kot po proračunu za leto 2024. Štirim javnim skladom pa omogoča zadolževanje z namenom nadaljevanja delovanja. Hkrati uvaja moratori na določanje novih davkov in načrtovane državne investicije. Bajrou je prejšnji teden napovedal, da bo nov predlog proračuna pripravil do sredine februarja.
This is an interesting development, is that Bayrou has said that he would not resort to this 49.3 law, which bulldozes parliament and basically does not put up for vote a motion, a bill, like the budget one. So this is something that Bayrou has committed himself to, which probably explains how long it's taking and, you know, how difficult negotiations probably are. But what the major opposition parties have said is that there's no way that they'll vote through the budget in its present form. And so it's political suicide probably to resort to the 49.3 motion. And we'll just have to see if Macron is ready to be on that kind of suicidal path or not.
Proračun in politična kriza v metropolitanski Franciji pa bosta zaenkrat morala še počakati. Saj se premije Bayrou trenutno mudi na otoku Majot, francoskem čezmorskem departmaju, ki ga je pred dvema tednoma prizadel ciklon. Offside je pripravil Matej.